Welcome to the NBA Road Show, episode number 265. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me here at the Casa de Cold Coffee. Mm-hmm. Basically the permanent home of the MMA Not on the Road Show anymore. Such is life, my friend. We just get together every Thursday. Used to, we traveled around the globe and we saw different locales. We brought you the vibe from how the whole city was feeling that week. And now we just, I mean, fortunately, we are at the expansive grounds of the Casa de Cold Coffee.
Yes.
So there's still plenty to explore.
So easy to be socially distanced in such a large expanse.
It really is. I mean, you can just keep your space from everyone. I mean, fortunately, the staff is all wearing masks and keeping their distance from us and not bothering us. Well-trained
they're
staff.
They're so well-distanced, you can't even see them here.
Well-trained
staff. They're just so well-hidden.
But as we go 6 weeks into our stay-at-home orders here in Nevada.
Is that really six weeks?
6 weeks, man. Days have definitely lost the meaning. Today, I guess, the only real meaning of today was it was hot today, man. It got all the way up to 90 degrees. We're actually, normally during this pandemic, we've been able to do things a little bit earlier in the afternoon, but due to work and some other things, we're actually getting together on Thursday night, kind of like the old school, like we do during fight weeks. But yeah, it got warm today. It's cooled off since, but it got nice and hot today. But it's funny, the days have lost all meaning. I was talking to my wife the other day, and it was Sunday, and she was asking me what day it was, which is obviously not an uncommon question right now because nobody really keeps track anymore.
Yep.
And she thought I said someday, and I said Sunday, and I was like, you know what? That is kind of it right now. Like, every day is just
someday. That's true. Yeah, for the weather to get so warm so quickly is just another sort of just wrench in the mix of normality out here. Because normally we don't reach this until into May at some point.
We always say, how long? For 265 straight weeks, whenever we talk about Vegas weather, we always say April, October.
Yeah.
April, October, the two best months. Normally in April, you got your windows open, cool breeze going through. I had to kick my air conditioning on today.
I almost did. It's getting to that point. If it stays like this, I'm going to have to. But yeah, the average high temperature typically in April is about 78 degrees.
Yeah, it got up to 90 today.
Got 90, and I think it's going to get the same for the next few days or so. It's funny, my niece, she was like, hey, are you swimming? I think everybody just assumed if you got a pool, it's either heated or whatever. I'm like, no.
It's still cold.
It's still cold. I was like, but if it stays like this and it stays in the 90s, we're going to be swimming in April, which is going to be absolutely bizarre. But if it keeps getting hotter, I'm going to have to break down and turn the air on. That's why I asked you when you first got here. I was like, is it a little warm? Because Heather came in. She's like, it's stuffy in here. And I was like, I don't want to flip the switch yet. Because once you flip the switch,
it's on.
You're done.
And
you're done for it.
You got kind of the expansive grounds obviously run up at a high electric bill.
Yeah, super, super high.
And I got here. I guess the only problem is I got here later in the evening than I normally would. Today, as you were hanging out, the staff was able to fan you, of course, right? But unfortunately, you do have to let them
Gaston, come up here and bring the big, the wide palm leaves.
At some point, you have to allow them some free time, and unfortunately, they're not on right now. So,
you know, I do a good job of keeping them employed, you know, during this time when a lot of people are just really hurting for jobs. I do my point. I do my part.
I can safely say that no one on your staff has had any change to their work situation. That is a true statement.
That is a true statement.
All right, well, this day is a little different. I say every day is just some day. This one is a little bit different, I guess, besides just the heat. The NFL draft is happening. It's still going on right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like sports again. I mean, it's kind of some live sports. It was a little depressing. It opened up with, like, scenes of an empty Vegas because, of course, it was supposed to be here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they keep flashing that up, and it's it hurts because this was going to be such a huge day for the community. Like,
just a massive party.
They were talking about 100,000 people on this trip.
The
they were
amount
gonna close
of money
the
that would have been in
millions of dollars that they were standing to get, and it would have been a pretty cool bright spot for Vegas. You know, Vegas has had some hard times. Ever since the October 1, so every bright moment here is even better. And this was going to be one of those big points where I think they were hoping that they would, you know, put something else out there to help people, you know, forget what happened in Vegas and stuff, and for it to not happen. And to see the pictures of just the empty streets, it still just looks like a post-apocalyptic.
Weird,
you know,
man.
When you see a lot of the stuff, it's just bizarre.
It's weird. You know, it kind of would have been the official launch, I guess, of the Raiders here in Las Vegas. You know, that stadium continues to be built. I drive by it every time I come over here. It's making progress. It really is.
$2 billion.
$2 billion.
$2 billion. They say it's running behind schedule too.
Of course it is. It really is. I'll be honest. I don't know if beautiful is the right word. It's cool as hell, man.
It's definitely neat.
Yeah. It's very futuristic look. If you have, I'm sure most people have seen it, but if you haven't, look it up. It looks really cool. Yeah. I mean, it's all black. You know, black glass around it with some white lining on it. One end of it is open so that it'll have doors that can open, and that'll be the end that faces the Las Vegas Strip because it's on the west side of I-15, if you're familiar with Las Vegas, the highway that runs up and down the Strip. So, you know, you'll have camera shots at night, you know, from the field with the Strip in the back. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful facility. And I tell you what, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if it opens empty. Now, I'm assuming because L.A. built two stadiums, right? Because they're not, the Rams and the Chargers aren't sharing the same stadium, right? Is there two stadiums, or are they sharing the same one?
I was thinking that they were
maybe
two,
they
but,
are.
But I thought maybe at one point I thought they were sharing, but I don't know. I don't really stay up on LA sports.
I don't either. But it's just, to me, it's going to be crazy. Cause I think that one, now granted, they had some insane real estate values, but I think that one's like $3 billion, the one that's right next to right next to LAX there, next to the Forum. But it's going to be crazy, man. Like, to me, that's going to be the big test of this whole pandemic situation because the NFL has so much money and so much power and so much leverage. Do they open those stadiums up with nobody in them?
Yeah, and what's crazy about this one is the fact that, you know, with whatever engineering behind it, because you think of, you know, a super hot place is the desert. And so now they're building this giant building that's all black.
Right.
You know, and you figure that's not the right color you would want. You know, you would think you would do something else, you know. But
it's the Raiders,
maybe,
baby.
Maybe something with – true. But maybe something with the way that the glass or the stuff won't
– oh, I'm sure that's definitely –
won't absorb.
Oh, it had to be factored in.
But there's got to be some sort of neat engineering that I'm sure we'll find out of how it's going to dissipate.
It will be fun if you find out, like, the engineering doesn't work and it's, like, 200 degrees in there.
Yeah, like, but you can't go see a game because you literally roast. It has to be a nighttime game or you'll never be able to go in there.
That's what – if, like, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, if people have never seen that, like, they purposely built it. So, like, the back side of T-Mobile Arena, which faces the west, which obviously where the sun sets – it looks like trash. Like, there's nothing on it, but they built it that way because there's no windows, there's no nothing. Like, it doesn't look great from that side, but they made sure there's no entry points, there's no glass, because the sun setting in the west at night, it gets super hot during the summertime.
Yeah.
So they wanted to make sure that, you know, it wasn't baking down on it all day. So that was, you know, they didn't have any crazy engineering. They just made sure and kind of blocked off.
But
that
even
side.
That material looks like it reflects.
It probably does.
Like, whatever that weird color, it looks almost like a brass or like some sort of copper or something like
copper, I think,
you know,
good.
It's kind of interesting, but I did look it up really quickly. It is the Chargers and the Rams are going to play at the same one, the SoFi Stadium,
yeah, which my wife is bummed that was actually going to be opened in July by Taylor Swift. She had tickets to go out to Taylor Swift. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So, but yeah, so I think that one was like $2.9 billion. It does make sense that they would share it. That's a lot of money for one stadium. But
unless Wiki is wrong, Wiki's saying the construction cost, not that Wiki's always right, but it says $4.9 billion estimated, including development.
Might be.
So maybe that's like
the stuff counting, around
they're counting
it or whatever.
Extra money, like the money they maybe put in to do the first land research, blah, 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 blah. Because,
plus then you got to do like road reconstruction around it, you know.
But, man, to ask of you know, because none of these places are ever just privately funded. They're all ventures by the city. And it's funny. They always do the, oh, it's a public and private investment. You're going to get your money's right. I'm like, when do we get our checks? When are we getting our checks back for this?
It's in that $1,200 you got, bro.
Yeah, they're like, we gave you $1,200, sir. Enjoy that.
Oh, man. I got to admit, man, I had kind of a rough week this week, man. I'm back on furlough this week.
Your arm looks better, though.
My arm's definitely better. That's way better. I still can't donate plasma. I went to go donate it the other day, and now I just don't have good veins. So plasma donation might just not be for me.
Yeah, you definitely don't look like you've been abused, but now your veins don't want to work. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're like, We saw what happened last time.
They ducked down below the skin. Yeah, I went the other day.
The veins from your arm now, oddly enough, are in your back of your leg.
I went the other day, and they were like, the bruise looks much better. They're like, but we can't find any veins. I was like, oh, well.
And they couldn't use the other arm?
No,
other
so
arm
this one they'd already told me. My left arm, they'd already told me the veins are no good. The right arm was good enough, and then they said no. So
yeah, it sucks.
I'm just shit out of luck. But this one's – yeah, so my arm's better, but – I don't know, man. This one's been tougher for me. You've been working all week. I've been on furlough again. I don't know, man. The first furlough was hard, all of us financially. But you know, the unemployment money came in. That was good. My mom actually reached out to me to make sure I was financially good as well. And all, so, I mean, I'm much more comfortable.
Aren't moms the best?
Yeah, moms are the best. I'm much more comfortable than I was. But there's two things. Number one, I think the first week, there was so much like scrambling and like, okay, I've got to take care of this. I've got to adjust this. I've got to make this happen. I've got to plan for this. Now it's like all those adjustments and plans are made and the battle is done. And now you're just like sitting and just doing whatever. And that this one was harder for me. So I don't know. I just want to share that with people. Not that I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me, but if people are feeling kind of up and down, I just want to like, hey man, you're not alone, dude. Cause of course it's difficult for everybody, this whole situation, but I've been having some kind of mood swings and this one was tougher for me. So I just want to throw that out there to say, hey man, if anybody's feeling a little bit more down 1 week than the other, whatever, like you're not alone. And the other thing too is that
I thought it was good you went bike riding the other day, so you're finding some time to get to spend with Ethan. I'm sure he's digging that. But even that, I mean, it's great. I think it's great when people, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm getting to spend quality time to do all these things. But you know, I think for especially in the field that we work, it's such a structured thing where your mind's always racing in that one direction, always going, that sometimes it's hard to switch gears and immediately expect that it's going to easily, smoothly go into a gear that doesn't get used that often. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's not an easy transition. As much as we hope that, you know, we can easily transfer over to something else. Like I had plans, oh, I'm going to clean this, I'm going to do this. The first 2 days, I literally barely could get off the couch, and luckily I had like an Xbox, so I bought like two games to just play. And then I was like, okay, this is fun. I was like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but there was a point where the motivation just wasn't there, because part of it, you just feel like, it wasn't like it was like, haha, it's days off. It was more just like, it just felt weird. Mm-hmm. I felt like so sort of out of place, and the only thing I could really do was I just got my mind off of it, and the best way I could find at the time was like, let me just plug into a game, and so I could just shut my brain off, so I stopped thinking about me.
Yeah.
You know, because when you start thinking about me, you start thinking about, just like you said, oh, are bills going to be paid? Is this going to be paid? Shouldn't I be doing this? Shouldn't I be doing 100%. This? You know, and that was the hard part for me. And then I did finally get around to doing some of the things after I adjusted, you know, but that literally was like a 2 or 3 day period of where I was just like, I know I should be doing this, but my body was just like, no.
Telling you, man, it's weird. It's and like you said, man, I'm trying to make the most of it and spending more time with Eli and doing bike rides and you know, trying to do little things together. I did have one little.
Did you already have a bike, or did you buy a bike?
We had bought a bike not long ago, but so we have like all three of us have bikes now, so it's something that we're doing a little bit more together. But I did have one little thing today. I went to. Can't remember what I went. I had to go to Best Buy for something. Oh, because I needed to change out a fan. I had my living room fan. You know, the I had always wanted to change it, and the lighting's really bad on it. And mm-hmm. and now we're.
Will you change the whole fan?
Yeah. So nice. Now we're spending so much time. It was like one of the builder fans that are just crap. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'd always wanted to change it, but I'm not at home that much. Now I'm home all the time, and at night it has like it was one of those ones that has like one light bulb on it, and it's just not very good. So I was like, I gotta change this. So I went and bought a fan with, like, the four lights or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a better fan, better lighting, all that. So I went to Home Depot to pick that out, and I brought Eli with me so he could, like, help pick it out. Installed it myself, by the way.
Nice.
That's a little, you know, one of the few, like, manly do-it-yourself. Yeah. Normally my wife is all the do-it-yourself one. But anyway, one of the things he asked me, and I let him kind of spoil himself on this, whatever. He's always wanted those little, like the colored, like LED lights for his room.
Okay.
And I was always like, that's silly. But now we're stuck at home so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Get it. And I got to say, I love them. I'm just going to throw that out there for anybody that's looking to I don't want to say spoil yourself, but do something a little fun at home. Yeah. Philips Wiz is the name of the lights. The bulbs themselves are like, they're not cheap. They're like $12 a piece for like a light bulb. Supposedly they're rated for like 20 years though, which is crazy. But then you don't have to have any like third party thing. Like you just download an app to your phone and you can control, you know, like the color Very and cool. all that. So it's kind of, so for him, he's like, I want my room to be purple today, or I want it to be green today. Yeah. Like, you know what, man, go for it. So I just want to throw that out there. It's been kind of fun. We got a little color at our house now.
There
it's
you
kind
go.
Of fun.
Well, you know what they say. I mean, a happy household is a good place to be. You know what I mean?
So. Well, we're all stuck there a lot. So I figured, you know what, let him have a little fun around it.
Kids, keep the kid happy, keep the wife happy, then you be happy.
That's it. That's definitely true, especially right now. I think the other thing, too, kind of going back to kind of being in a little bit of rut, the other thing, too, is last week was kind of hard for me as well. I did a lot of media last week, man. I did a chat with Kevin Ioli and a couple other journalists. I did Submission Radio a couple times. I did with Ant Walker and the group at Sherdog, and I did a mainstream radio hit with radio's Talk Sport in New Zealand, and I just keep getting it hammered home that like I'm so in the minority of this feeling on this thing of that like I think we can get back to business and I think we should get back to business, although we need to do it safely. And obviously anybody that listens to this knows it's been my stance from day one. I don't like to talk about it over and over and over because I don't want it to be like some political thing. Like we just like to drink beer and talk about fights.
Hashtag frosty beverages.
But this is such a big thing. But I don't know, man. It's been bugging me that like I'm so much in the minority because I'm trying to figure out, like, am I just crazy? Because I feel like it's right, man. I feel like we're going to have to take, you know, serious steps. Like, again, I don't think there's going to be crowds the rest of this year. I think we're going to, you know, probably media days are gone. You know, I mean, all like there's going to be all these things. But I just feel like it can happen. And not only can it happen, I feel like it almost should happen, as crazy as that may sound. I mean, we gotta get something going again. Now, I don't like our mayor, Goodman, here
gonna,
in Las Vegas.
I was going to bring her up because the way you were talking, I was like, well, if you ever get lonely and you need somebody to back you up, call up Mayor Goodman.
Bro, if anybody has not seen Mayor Goodman's, what was she with, Anderson Cooper, where she said she basically volunteered our community to be a test group.
The control group.
We'd be the control group. Just, hey, man. Just
I volunteered, but nobody would take it.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I'm not second guessing myself. I still believe what I believe, and I still feel it's right. But it just keeps. I don't know, man. It's weird to me. Like I could, man, especially like I was talking to the guys in New Zealand, and I could tell like they were just like, this dude's an idiot. Like because they were asking what I thought, and I was like, I think we can.
Well, for some people, it's literally in their minds. It's if there's still a possibility of sickness, and there's a possibility that death can come. We shouldn't get anywhere near it with a 10-foot pole, you know. And a lot of people, I think, are of that mind. But, you know, to go back to Goodman, you know, when she throws out numbers, and it's hard to not think somebody's cold when they say, like, you know, there's been 150 deaths, but we're in 2-point-some million people, so that's practically nothing.
Right.
But she doesn't want to say that doesn't mean anything. But when you think about the large numbers of the population, I get what she's saying. You know, it's a very, very small amount.
It just sounds incredibly cold to minimize
it. It sounds incredibly cold to minimize it. You know, and even though you follow that up by saying any deaths is a tragedy, but right after you just got done saying, like, you were willing to make your city a control group for an experiment, you know. I think, and I'm with you, I think if the right testing and the right procedures are done, I don't see why it can't go forward. But they need to really think about every possible problem that could come up with it and then do it. Like the whole fact to think about Lyman Good's situation, you know, he comes out and says that he had it, but he was supposed to be fighting. You know, does that mean if you start bringing somebody in before you start putting them on the card, do we start testing 2 weeks out and then test them again 2 weeks after that point so that the, you know, whatever 14-day period is went through, you know, so that if they're not if they're not showing symptoms on, you know, day one, and then if they're not showing symptoms on day 14 or day 21.
That's just impossible.
You know.
Like that nobody's going to, right? I mean, nobody's going to do that.
Right. But I'm just trying to think of ways.
That would be the right way.
You know, because the fact of like, you know, with Lyman's situation, if he didn't, if it didn't get caught off and then felt fine, goes to the thing, performs, and then, you know, 6 days later, doesn't feel good or whatever, or decides to go take a test or gets tests back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then you're going to have every person that was there now, you know, now every person now needs to self-quarantine again for another 14 days or 3 weeks or whatever, then has to go and do another testing. I mean, there's no easy way about it, but I mean, I think with the amount, if they limit as many, as little people as possible, do as much testing in whatever suggested testing, like if they would call up old Fauci and be like, hey, you know, let's talk hypotheticals. If we did want to have a gathering of individuals.
I like him, man. I like him.
You know, it's funny. I like it that somehow now he's became this guy that at one point was being touted as like towing the line. And then now he's like, no, you know, when it seems like him and Trump are kind of not at odds, but it's almost like he's like, wait, Mr. Trump, don't just say that I'm automatically on board with you. You know, it's like this. Trump will go up and say one thing, and then he goes up and says something, something opposite. You know, like Trump, what was it, the one that I think he said today? Like, oh, by whatever, end of May or whatever it was, he's like, COVID, it's probably not even going to be here. It won't even be here. And then he pops up and he's like, yeah, it's pretty much going to always be with us.
Well, and you know what? You know what? That's the thing that I've been saying from day one, right? Like, this thing is not going away. It's going to be here.
It's going to be a part of our life. Until there's a vaccine and until there's a point where enough people – what's
– The herd immunity.
When enough people start getting it and have protections that, you know, you won't notice it. And now more and more we're hearing more and more where a lot of people are saying they think it already came through the West Coast in January. You know, there are other things going. So – you know, I think as more testing goes, we'll see that maybe there's already antibodies and already people with immunities too, because they've already had it.
It's amazing how many people that I've talked to in Las Vegas that were horribly sick in December. And I've said this thing, I've mentioned it before. I don't like to focus on it too much or say it too often because obviously I have no idea what it was. But I was sicker than I've ever been in my life in December. And I do wonder, like, was it here that early? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
you never know. At that time of the year, that's when people always – they always say there's, like, super flus or super bugs that always come through.
That's what I'm saying. It could have just been a normal flu. Like, I don't normally get the flu. It could have just been a normal flu. Yeah. But it knocked me out.
So I remember you were really, really bad. Then I got sick after. Yeah. I didn't get as bad as you, but I remember I got sick after you. And then I think we knew other people that got sick. It certainly made its way through. And I knew other people in Vegas that had gotten sick around that time. But – could have just been the flu, you know.
Anyway, I don't know, man. Like I said, I never want to spend too much time. There's no way you can not talk about this. It's all that's going on in our life right now. But I don't know. I guess this, to me, was kind of a rough week. I just wanted to share that with people. So, you know, maybe other people are having kind of ups and downs or whatever. And just, I don't know, hopefully understand it's normal. You know what I mean? It's not going to be the same for everybody. So hopefully everybody's keeping their head up.
With hashtag Frosty Beverages.
Frosty Beverages. I know I am drinking way too much at home these
FrostyBeverages.com.
days. let's see. Let's talk about the upcoming schedule. More cancellations since we got together last week. Bellator has suspended some additional cards, or at least one card. PFL called off the entire season. Let's start with Bellator, because with Bellator, I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised they called off the June 6th event.
Yeah.
They're working towards doing closed door events, which makes sense. They have television partners that own. You know, we've done press events on the Paramount Studio lot. There's a CBS lot as well. I mean, they have access to closed door venues. I don't know, man. I was a little bit surprised that they called off June 6th. I mean, I guess, you know, they're being as, I don't know if they're being conservative or if they're just being as safe and secure as possible. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was a little surprised. I thought by June 6th they'd be ready to go. You know, everybody's hurting for content right now, and I know that's not necessarily the right reason to do things. But knowing that they have access to these closed door lots and that is their plan, just like the USC moving forward, I was a little surprised to see them to push off June 6th.
Yeah, I think so as well, and I think part of it, you know, and Mike Bond had a talk with Scott today, and that'll be coming out onto MMA Junkie. If it's not, by the time you hear this, there's probably already going to be a story out on there. He did talk a little bit about the fact of he, even when he feels like when they do get started, not everybody's going to be trying to rush back to go see these things.
Even if there were crowds, even if tickets were available, you're absolutely right. Who's going to rush out and be like, let me just jump in the middle of a crowd?
So I think what they're doing, which is kind of neat right now, they're really embracing the whole of revisiting content that they already have, and they're letting some of their people kind of take different steps. So some of their stuff's going to come out on, the CBS Sports platform? Mm-hmm. So they're having different other stuff. So they've kind of shifted focus a bit right now to creating this content, to push to these platforms. So they're getting that out of the system, that they're actually still creating content and they're creating something new to kind of get interested in. And then I think a lot of places, I just feel that they want to see like a good 30 days of, hey, we're probably in the clear before they want to start planning. I mean, it just seems to make sense that with so many people sort of saying, all right, well, you need 14 days here. And then some people say, oh, no, it should be 3 or 4 weeks or blah, blah, blah. I just kind of feel like I can see where a lot of places, even if they start getting the green light to open and do things, I would think a month after that is probably a solid idea of when I would want to start doing it.
Right.
And with now that they're like, hey, we're not even going to start talking about stuff till May, until, you know, now the middle of May. So I could see where he was probably thinking like pushing at the beginning of July when we haven't even got into May, but we're getting into May and it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight to the government restrictions. It's a lot easier to say, hey, let's just put it at a later date instead of saying, sorry, guys, I know we've been promoting. Because at some point, they got to start promoting it. And then it's just like wasted money. If you start promoting 30 days out, 14 days out, and then eventually say, okay, we're not quite ready, then you pull the plug, then it's just wasted money. I think it's probably just a safe bet
It's a safe bet. And you know what else occurs to me that I hadn't thought about until you were kind of going through the logic of it, and again, this was still pretty fresh, is that I wonder if that's the difference too of them being owned by the network. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, they're, you know, technically, sure, they have a contract with the network, money changes hands, but let's be honest, it's the same company. It can go wherever it needs to go. Money can go wherever it needs to go. And, you know, whereas, if something did happen in the UFC, I guess there would be a way to sue ESPN, but it'd probably be a little bit more difficult litigation, right? I mean, you'd have to say, well,
and your relationship's certainly going to sour after that.
Sure. But if you're owned, I mean, Viacom would absolutely be sued because they own Bellator.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'm always here because, let's be honest, when corporations make decisions, protecting themselves liability-wise is always a big decision maker. So I wonder if maybe that's the difference of it as well.
And maybe also being comfortable in the fact that, I mean, when they canceled their last event, everybody got paid. Fighters got paid. Staff got paid. I mean, if it's to the point where Viacom's like, let's not rush back. Let's do this right. Let's make sure that there's not going to be public opinion against us for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
If we're sure that we're on the downside of this slope / plateau / whatever they're calling
it
of this thing. And if the parent company's like, you're good, we're not going to rush you back and we're not going to force you to have to do layoffs, let's do this right. That gives you a lot of freedom.
It does.
To maybe sit back and think about it and not have to rush. It's in Dana and the UFC's best interest to hit the money numbers, to hit the numbers of events, to get these money goals. And I feel it's probably not the same way. Even though Scott is pretty confident they're still going to get their fights in as well, they're going to meet all their obligations of their international partners and all the other stuff. They're going to meet their numbers, but their numbers are a lot more conservative than some of the stuff that the UFC is trying to push out. So I think they probably have a little bit more breathing room. But it just seems to me that when listening to him talk, I don't feel the same pressure or the same sort of maybe downward push that's going on them to make sure that make these events happen. I feel like they're a lot more secure. So maybe for them, the fear to have to the pressure to push this event out and make sure that their first thing it gets going is not the same for them. And you know, Dana and these guys and certainly Scott Coker isn't on this board that the president's put out there to get the economy going again and all this other stuff. So maybe there's some external pressures there, you know, on Dana and them. But
that's interesting too.
You know, I think it's I'm glad, I mean, that they're not rushing to get back. I want it to get back as much as anybody else, but you know, I just like his approach. I get the feeling that when they decide to do it, that's going to be a good sign that things are trending in the right direction.
Right.
Whereas with Dana and with the UFC pushing as much as I want them to get this going, because we need events
yes.
to kind of get going. I mean,
we do.
You know, economy, one thing or nothing, but I mean, I want to see fights going. I want to see the world feel like it's getting back to
yes.
normal. But with Dane and them, I just feel
back.
Like there's a lot more. I feel like they're pushing the envelope with the. But as opposed to Bellator, I feel like when Bellator gets around to do it, we're probably going to be in the clear.
Yeah.
They're not going to push
they're
the
not
envelope
try to
as much.
Get ahead of the curve at
get
all.
Get ahead of it, yeah. So.
And when I say the curve, I don't mean the curve that we've
yeah,
been talking
not
about. I mean the way we used to call the curve before we started calling
before,
it. Before the pandemic changed what we meant as the curve. I want to talk about PFL, too. They decided to call off their entire season. I feel kind of bad for PFL in this situation because I feel like they kind of got screwed here. They kind of screwed themselves.
Yeah.
But they kind of got screwed too. So they have to cancel the whole season. Understandable. Again, I mean, they're even smaller than Bellator. Their finances are even smaller. I mean, more uncertainty, all those things. Get it. But I feel like they tried to do the right thing. But, you know, they did cut some fighters. They cut a significant portion of their roster from what I understand. And then, you know, they made this statement to everybody like, hey, we're going to give a stipend to our fighters. And everybody's like, wow. Bravo, bravo. And then it comes out that the stipend is $1,000 a month. Not that $1,000 a month is nothing. In fact, I was actually talking to somebody the other day that one of their clients is a Brazilian fighter. And the Brazilian fighter was like, $1,000 US a month? Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, like, understandable because that goes a long way right now. You know,
yeah.
the Brazilian reais is in a bad spot right now. So, you know, the US dollar is strong. But $1,000 a month to most people, not again, every little bit counts. So I'm not trying to piss on $1,000. So I don't know. I feel bad for you because I feel like they were damned if they do, damned if they don't. You know what I mean? Like they came to a decision that they had to cancel the season. Again, it's completely understandable. And then they try to do the right thing. I mean, I don't know if the right thing would be make sure you don't cut anybody and you give them all $1,000 or cut people and then give people 2,000. I don't know, man. I don't know that there was a right way to do this. I guess whatever they would have done would have been criticized to some degree. I don't know. I feel like they kind of did the right thing and kind of didn't, and it just comes off as kind of eh in the end.
Right now, the Brazil and is $5.53. Well, it's not cents, but
highest to dollar
to the dollar.
Wow, that's the highest I've ever seen. I remember when we first started going down in 2012, I believe it was, to Brazil when the UFC returned to Brazil. At that time, it was four, and it went down to as low as like 2.5 at one point. But when it was four, I remember like living like a king down there. Like my, you know, you take your per diem, and your per diem, man, you could go have steakhouse every night. And never even come close to touching the per diem. You know what I mean? So that was at four. So now you're talking about 5.5? Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the average wage is because even just trying to do a search right now, I'm getting two different returns on what it's saying. But, yeah, I mean, so that roughly getting 5,500 a month for nothing, I'm sure that dude's like, fuck
good
yeah.
To go.
Good. Thank you very much. But, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like – I feel kind of bad for the PFL because I feel like they tried to do the right thing, and I feel like they were going to be criticized
anyways,
either way.
And then it's like I feel like the fighters needed those events more than anybody else,
right.
You know. But they were trying. But, man, it was on such – it felt like it was on such shaky ground before, and then to have a fact where they're like, now you can't perform, you can't do anything else, and now they're going to have to kind of shut it. I mean – it was one thing to say that money was there for next year, no problem, you know, or money was there for this coming year or whatever. But then when
you were not expecting this,
this happens, you know, it's hard to expect that money will be there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they're able to return. I don't know. I don't want to put bad energy out there in the world, but it does seem like the kind of things. I mean, there's so many businesses right now that are shuttering
yeah.
right now, right? I mean, you wonder, could they apply for some of the loans that are coming out there? Or,
it is. I would think that it. Depending on the market cap of what they are,
yeah,
I could see it. I mean, because they don't have a huge staff number.
No, they don't.
All the fighters are independent contractors.
That's right.
But I wonder. I mean, because I know. I think it would have to just be what the market
value.
It would
be weird for them to apply, but maybe they could.
But if it kept them afloat.
If it kept them afloat, you do what you got to do.
I heard a bunch of stories of big, big companies that applied for a lot of that money, and then now they're all paying it back.
Oh, yeah, because it looks horrible.
Like, it looked horrible, and then I think the government was like, we will come after
you. What was
it
like? Shake Shack was sitting on like $100 million in cash, but they received
$10
million. Like, come on, man. Like, dude, this is supposed to be for the mom and pop shops, dude. This is supposed to be for all those small businesses, man, that have no chance.
Yeah, who in that organization was like, hey, should we? I'm going to go ahead and apply. I'm just going to go ahead and apply.
Nobody will notice.
Nobody will notice. It's only $10 million.
Oh, man. All right. Meanwhile, the USC is planning to go forward with May 9th, at least as the time we sit here. I will say this. I am
that could change by the time you get in your car.
I'm telling you right now. It's happened before.
We'll still push this episode out.
It's still going live. I'm not turning around. It's too late in the night. Normally, I would re-record, but now it's too late in the night. It looks like it's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. We've talked, you know, all along about why Florida seemed like the safest spot for it to happen in terms of regulatory issues. I do still wonder, man. It's still, you know, it's still Dana taking the same approach. Like, don't worry about it. We got it. And like, it just seemed to be a tactical error last time. And I wonder if it's gonna blow up again. I hope not. You know, I want the fights to happen for reasons, of course. I mean, this is our industry. I want our industry to resume.
Yeah.
I want my life to get back to some degree of normal, man. And as we talked about going in, that routine, man, that just a way of doing things. I want it to happen again. But, man, I just wish there was more transparency and here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it. I mean, they don't necessarily owe that. They're not a publicly traded company that has shareholders to answer to, but I sure do think it would make people feel a lot better and maybe have less people bugging them about it and less people, you know, trying to take it down, but at least trying to poke holes in things because you're not talking about it, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of times I'm on the same side as Dana in situations. This one, I am on the same side of him as holding the event. I do believe it can go. I'm kind of not in favor of the way that this is being handled in terms of, like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We got it.
You need to have somebody needs to be poking the bear, because if they are going to push forward, they need to make sure that all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, everything needs to be done perfectly right, because even Scott Coker said it today. He was like, you know, if something happens and they put the event on and it fails, they all are going to suffer from it. Every MMA organization, everybody's going to suffer because
Right. They're
all going to take the heat for it, because
that
they're all grouped in together. So if you're going to do it, you have to make sure you do it right. And as much as we want to see fighting happen, as much as, you know, we know that our industry is affected by the fact that sports aren't happening, nobody wants to see them rush back just so we have something to do. If it means that by rushing back, somebody catches it, somebody gets sick,
somebody dies,
and somebody dies.
Absolutely.
You know, because that'd be a really shitty gut check of, you know, your priorities. Because we all want this to come back. We all want to get back to normal. We all want to just feel normal again, even though we know normal is going to be, you know, here I'm doing my air quotes, normal is going to be a whole different thing when we get back.
New normal sounds stupid. Like, when people say new normal, it sounds stupid.
Yeah.
But it is true. Like, there are going to be things that you're seeing right now. Again, I think social distancing is going to happen for the rest of the year. Again, until we have a vaccine. Like, I've already told my wife, I cannot imagine that our kids are going to go back to school in the fall. How would that make sense? Like, we still don't want people in crowds together.
That is crazy, which, if people haven't already got it, our governor just finished canceling the rest of the school year this year. I think that was a possibility, but it wasn't official. But now that's official. So, and what's crazy is that, you know, if things don't quickly recover and sort of get back to normal, school years don't – there's not a big gap between when the next school year starts, you know. What is it, late August or something?
Yeah.
So
I don't see how it can change. And this, again, it goes back to what I've been saying from
so
day
weird.
One.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to wait for a vaccine, why are you telling me May 1st is the date, June 1st is the date, July 1st is the date, August 1st is the date? You're still going to have to use the same guidelines. It's the same thing I've been saying about MMA the whole time, and I'll say the same thing about the school. I mean, I just don't see how now we're saying, hey, listen, no bigger than groups of 10 or maybe no group. Yep. How do we all of a sudden go, hey, you know what? 800 elementary school kids that are not going to be washing their hands and keeping space from each other. Like, that's totally fine. It's totally fine. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, when I ordered pizza, the pizza that came here earlier, when the delivery woman brought it, she had her little mask, but she had gloves on. But as I'm like, she's like handing me the stuff where I've seen some deliveries where they just set it down on a chair and it's all contactless, you know, or whatever. But in the back of my mind, as I'm like grabbing the food, part of me is like, should I not take it from her? Should I? Just because I didn't want her to feel like, you know, she's taking the precaution, whatever. Like, am I being rude by trying to reach out and take the box from her, whatever? But just like you said, when, you know, you wanted to shake the hand of the guy delivering water to your house, like, I felt weird grabbing a delivery food, even though
out of somebody's
hands, when that's completely normal to do it before.
I picked up some Taco Bell the other day. I'm not proud of that, but I was just really, really hungry. I know it's not Mexican food. It's just its own thing. It's Taco Bell.
It's Taco Bell.
But I was just I needed something really quick, and so I was like, Taco Bell's right there. I rolled through anyway. So the way they did it, first time I've seen this, so you go to pay, and instead of handing your card to somebody, the dude had gloves on, and he literally just had like the credit card machine and held it outside the window, and I just stuck it in, and then pulled it out, you know, and that was that. And then when it came time to my food, he had the bag and he put it on like one of those plastic trays, you know, like if you were dining in or whatever. And just handed it out the window. I picked it up off the tray. And that's what I'm saying. Like, little things like that, I don't think those are going to go away. I think those stick around. You know, it's just like, hey, this is the way we do it now.
I got some it was KFC the other day. And they just did hand
I know
the bag
people
out
are stunned to hear we eat fast food as often as we do. I know.
I don't normally do, but now, lately, it's like that guilty pleasure because it's just like, now it's such an ordeal going to the grocery store some now that I'm just like, let's just go to
the line to get KFC. In the one way aisles.
And now the Smiths I go to is limiting people.
Yeah.
You know, even though I feel like we should be doing less of that now, it's like they changed their rules. So now less people per square foot or some ridiculous thing. So now it's like just such an ordeal going to the grocery store that I found myself on some days after I pick up Agent H, I'm just like, dude, do you want to just pick up something to eat? I was like, I don't feel like going to the store. I don't feel like making anything. And just, which I need to shake that because, one, picking food up is expensive, and two, it's lazy as hell. Get out. I like making food.
Now, but people just want to get out of their houses.
People just want to get out of the house. Maybe that's it, too, is just getting out of the house. The only time I get out of the house is to go pick up food.
All right, listen, there was supposed to be MMA this weekend. It was supposed to be UFC on ESPN Plus 31. Anthony Smith and Glover Teixeira were supposed to face off in the main event. Of course, Anthony Smith's been in the news quite a bit with the home invasion stuff. What a crazy story that was. But I figured I wanted to check in with somebody else in the car that was supposed to be getting ready. So I just took a quick scan up and down. I said, who's somebody I need to catch up with? And the name Rocco stood out to me, man. I love Tony Martin, man. That guy, I always appreciate him. I'm actually going to be talking to Evan Dunham tomorrow as well. But I wanted to catch up with Rocco, so reached out to him and actually spoke to him just a few minutes before I headed down here to the expansive grounds. And here's what he had to say. It's the man that only needs one name, just Rocco. That's all you need, just Rocco. The man formerly known as Tony Martin. Good to see you, my brother. I got to ask you right away. It's supposed to be fight week, right? I mean, you're supposed to be a couple hours out from stepping into a cage. So what is the emotions? What's the mindset like for you right now, man?
Man, it's tough. It's crazy right now. It's kind of crazy where you kind of set a plan right when you get a fight. You get everything booked. You start mapping out exactly how your weight wants to be, how you start peaking. Then you get that call that it's canceled. That was tough. And I almost thought I was going to get on the 18th for a little bit there. So it's tough, man. I'm hoping to try to jump on one of these May cards and see if we can get in there.
What was the process like for you as you're watching this whole thing unfold, right? I mean, you weren't one of the first cards to be canceled, but I'm sure you were keeping an eye on everything, trying to figure out how this was all going along. So just give me an idea what that process was like. I mean, were you still able to keep training at 100% with full motivation, all that? Or did you start thinking, maybe I better ease off because this isn't going to happen? How did the whole thing unfold for you?
Well, when Dana came out and said the 18th for sure was happening, I was like, you know what? Dana usually sticks to his word. He kind of like anytime he doesn't want to be proven wrong either. So when he says something, it usually he gets it done. So I was really pushing to get on that fight card because I figured that the David Zawada fight would fall off since he was training in Germany, I think, or something. So I was hoping to slide in there, and I almost did get on there until right when they canceled. But training's been great. I've been over here in Georgia with ATT Atlanta, and we got Jacow's the head coach here. I've been training a lot with Douglas Lima, Will Brooks, Clay Halverson, and then Jacow. So we've got just a small group, but all around the same size, and we all push each other, and we train safe, and it's actually been really awesome.
I was wondering how you hooked up with that crew. I love Jacow, man. I think he's a great guy and a phenomenal coach, and obviously that whole team is great. But how'd you end up in Georgia? How did that connection work?
Yeah, so when I was training for the Damian fight, Jacow came down to ATT to help me out for that fight a little bit, and then I got to know him, and I was like, man, this guy's a pretty cool guy. And then what happened was Douglas was fighting Rory McDonald, and I was like, I've always wanted to train with Douglas Lima, and I was like, this might be a great opportunity for me to get out there and get some good quality training in. So I ended up buying a travel trailer and a camper, and I moved out to Atlanta, and I came out here because I didn't know if I'd stay, if I'd like it. And I was like, because I was kind of wanting a little bit of a change. And then so I came out here, and I loved it, and I've been here ever since.
That's awesome. So are you in like a travel trailer right now?
Yeah, I am. It's absolute mess. I'd show you, but there's no way.
That's funny. But I guess it works out perfect. I mean, not that anything's great during a pandemic or whatever, but as far as the way you're supposed to live, I mean, this is kind of good, right?
That's what I say. Well, like nothing's really changed with me because I'm already so isolated out here. Other than what, going to the grocery store, staying safe, and we just have a small group that we train with. So other than that, nothing in my life has changed. So that part's been awesome.
That's great. My wife wants me to sell our house and get like a big travel trailer and like drive around the country with our kid. But I don't know, man. Could you live that life?
Oh, with the kid and the wife? No, actually, so I bought one that has an extra room. So I got two bedrooms in this thing. So it's a pretty big one. Because I got a daughter myself, so she would come up for the summer. Right. So I was like, this will be nice for that. So she have her own room. And then when she's sleeping, I don't have to bother her. But this thing's it's nice. If you like the outdoors and you're willing to go get outside and get some fresh air, then it works out well.
You got to rough it a little bit. Well, talk to me a little bit, Rocco. I mean, I don't want to bring it too serious, but your mom has had health problems, no question about it, right? So I wanted to know how you felt about competing during this, right? Because that's one of the big things they say, right? Like you're a fit athlete, top world-class level. Like you're probably going to be fine from what they say that we learn. But they say the worry is like endangering your family and that sort of thing. So did that play into your mind at all as you were talking about?
No,
whether you
because I'm isolated from my mom. I don't want to take any chance of getting her sick. I actually have isolated from my daughter as well. So they, my daughter lives out in Fargo, North Dakota. So I haven't seen her for a while. And that was just a sacrifice where I was like, right now I need to fight. I need to make money. And it's kind of like in the prime of my career that I think it's more important for me to keep fighting and to try to really make a push now that will be the future for my daughter. And then as for my mom, I've been telling her because obviously she's been on chemo pills for a while now. And so her immune system's shut down. So if she gets it, like she's going to be in a lot of trouble. So I've been telling the whole family, everyone to stay away from her.
Yeah. On a lighter note, I guess, how was the trip to Hawaii, man? It sounds like that was some of the bucket list you wanted.
Yeah, she loved it. We were going to – crazy, like, we were going to go – I was planning a trip for after the 25th to go to Italy. So that was the game plan, but obviously that's all scratch, and Italy was, like, the worst place to even think about going to. But, yeah, so that was the plan was originally the fight on the 25th and then to go to Italy right from there.
Wow. Well, talk about so what do you know at this point, right? I mean, I guess a lot of it's still up in the air. I mean, Dana says we're going forward on May 9th and it's going to happen. And you guys that miss fights, y'all are going to be the first ones to get fights back on the books. But what have you heard so far? What do you know? What's your plan right now?
Yeah, honestly, from what I've kind of heard is that if the May 9th goes well and there's not a huge uproar, that they're going to try to just keep running through fights there. And they might have a couple fights a week or they might just do one a week. I'm not exactly sure, but right now I'm just told stay ready. And I told them even if there's fallouts on the ninth there, for 170 that I'm ready to go. I've been training. I haven't left the gym. So really there's nothing else for me to do. So I'm just staying ready and I'm hoping for, you know, a big fight. You know, there's no disrespect for David, but honestly, I think that I deserved a bigger fight, a tougher fight. And I think that ideally I fall into a bigger fight now.
That's certainly a possibility. I did think it was a little bit of a surprising matchup, if I'm being honest. Let me say, if they do keep that together for whatever reason, my understanding is the international guys would have to fight on this fight island, wherever that is, right? So if for whatever reason they tell you, hey, we still want you to fight Zawada, are you willing to pack up and go to this mysterious fight island?
Like I said, I'm willing to go anywhere because as long as I'm isolated, I'm not worried about getting other people sick. So if there was a thing where I had to be around my mom, right now, if she was like really sick, obviously she's sick and dying right now, but if she was like, if I had to be there by her bedside, I wouldn't be doing anything. But you know, from what we know from the doctors, she still has a few years left. So right now I'm like, well, I'm gonna need to make some more money real quick. So, you know, we can keep doing these vacations and having a good time.
Yeah. The bucket list trips are going to get expensive, right? But a good way to spend it though.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, talk to you about the goals. I mean, you said it right away. Like, I'd like a bigger fight if I can get it. I mean, yeah. It's weird because I guess everything got reshuffled, so there's no real matchups. I mean, have you started kind of looking at the rankings and looking at the list yet and saying, you know, now that your fight fell apart and my fight fell apart, hey, so-and-so, why don't me and you get together?
Well, I was kind of a little tickled. I'll say I was a little tickled about the Nico Price and Vincent Luque fight because they just fought a couple years ago. Vincent Luque put him away. So it kind of was, I was upset because I was healthy and looking for a fight while I wasn't fighting one of them. You know, obviously I think that I belong in the top 15. I think that I'd probably one of my worst fights against Damian and I still feel like I was in the fight. And then I go out to Russia and fight Ramazan that I don't think anyone was wanting to run out all the way out to Russia and fight him. And he's extremely tough. And to go there and win as dominant as I felt like I won there was big. You know, I didn't know for sure if it'd be, you know, top 15 after like a top 15 fight again, but I thought it'd be somewhere, you know, like a Nico Price, I thought was a good matchup. I thought that was a kind of a spot. We're kind of in the same area. But they didn't get there. They came up with David Zawada. I don't know. I didn't really know who he was, so I'm not trying to trash on him. He is a tough fighter, but I don't think he's on my level. You know, I also don't think he's on where I'm at right now. I think that, you know, this is going to be my 15th UFC fight. Would be one of my 5-1 at welterweight, and with a close fight with Damian. You know, I think that it's time for, let's see where I'm at. You know, I think that it was Damian. I felt even going in the fight was one of the worst matchups in the top 15 for me, with him being so elite in one area that it wasn't, because I'm kind of just, I feel like I'm just really well-rounded everywhere, where I'm not a high specialist anywhere. So I feel like anyone that's just well-rounded is a very good matchup for me.
I dig it. So give me an idea. I mean, when you started this welterweight run, I felt like you had a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, man. I felt like you wanted to prove the world wrong and that sort of thing. And then you had the success. Then you had the setback. That was very frustrating. But I don't know. Give me an idea. Where's the mindset now? I mean, do you still have that little chip on your shoulder? Like, hey, man, people aren't giving me the respect I deserve. Or do you feel like that's not healthy? What's the
feeling? It's definitely not healthy. You know what I mean? It's never been a healthy thing where I've always felt like, I think maybe it's kind of how I grew up a little bit, where you feel like all the cards are stacked against you all the time. But I almost sometimes like feeling like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm cornered, you know, and even this next fight is my last fight on my UFC contract. So I feel like I'm kind of in a corner. And then they gave that David Zawada fight, which was kind of like, I'm like, geez, are they just trying to get rid of me? Like, just want me to be a no-name guy and then get out of here. It didn't make sense, but I'm also like, I can't control that. You know what I mean? I only control what I can do. So I actually have been trying to focus on putting some weight on. You know, I have never gotten in the UFC cage above like 180 pounds at 170. So it's been, I've been really tiny. You know, I've got out of most of those fights about 177, 178. So I started lifting for the first time since I've been at 170. I haven't lifted. I don't know why. So I started lifting. I was up to like 198 pounds at one point. And I was like, okay, and not fast. So now I'm leaving like, now I'm like 190 pounds. So I'm like, because I was like starting to worry, like, geez, I'm about to start really cutting weight to fight. Because I've been eating whatever I wanted all the way up, even through fight week at 170, you know, and I'd easily make weight like it was nothing. And then I was just like, geez, I had to start dieting 3 weeks out. You know, I was thinking getting ready for the 25th here. And then I was like dieting because I'm like, geez, I'm about to cut weight. But I was excited a little bit to see the difference, you know, to see how I felt differently in there with the grappling exchanges. I feel like is the biggest thing when weight's involved.
Yeah. Watch out, Israel Adesanya. That's what I'm hearing. I think you're making a move on the middleweight division.
No, that's what I was like. Even like Douglas, obviously Douglas was getting ready for his 85-pound. I was like, I was messing with him. Like, I'm keeping up with you, Douglas. And I'm going up to 85 now. But no, it was, I feel good. I'm healthy. And I really think that I'm the best I've ever been. And even I think it's time. I got to start grappling again. I got to start grappling in my fights again. I feel like I've focused so much on just striking that I haven't done any offensive grappling. So I think people don't realize how good of a grappler I am on top. So that's something I think going forward is I'll probably start leaning out a little bit more.
I dig it, man. Well, listen, it's uncertain times for us all for sure, but let's just say best case scenario, man. I mean, is best case scenario May 9th? Like, are you looking to jump in ASAP or would you maybe a little more time? I mean, ideally, when do we see you again?
May 9th would be the ideal situation. May 9th or obviously a week after that would be, I don't want to sit. I can't sit on the shelf much longer here. I've been like, I was supposed to be fighting this weekend and I'm healthy. So they said, if you're healthy and that you're scheduled to fight, that they'd get your fight right away. So ideally I fight right away.
You pulling a Tony Ferguson at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning?
Absolutely not. That's most of the thing.
Awesome, man. Perfect. All right, Rocco. It's always a pleasure, but I appreciate taking a few minutes, and hopefully we'll get you back on the schedule soon and we can talk about a fight when it's time.
Heck yeah. Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right. The man known as Rocco, formerly Tony Martin. I always love catching up with him, man. Interesting to hear him out there at ATT Atlanta now. I don't know, man. I think, honestly, no disrespect. Like he said, I think he should get another matchup when they rematch things up. And had to just ask him about the Tony Ferguson thing. Even though by the time most people listen to this, it'll already be well after 9 a.m. Eastern time in Friday morning. I still thought it was funny to find out if he would pull a Tony Ferguson. Nobody else would pull a Tony Ferguson. All right, listen, I should say, by the way, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you're logged into Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and just make sure you're subscribed to us. Rate us if you can. 5 stars would be awesome, of course. Review us if you can. We always appreciate the reviews. The feedback is good. Or if you want to take your game up to another level, take it to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Over there, for as little as $3 a month, you can sign up to support us and get access to exclusive content. We're constantly adding other items, things that we can along the way, some videos.
Nudie pics.
Not nudies. That we want people to subscribe, sir. We want people to join. if you don't pay us, we will send you nudes. How about that?
Yes, pay us to stop getting nudes.
It's fun content over there. We're adding stuff all the time. And once we do get back to full-time MMA, that will be, of course, the exclusive home, the and a half episodes, post-shows, wrapping everything up. By the way, speaking of the Patreon.com, let me reach out to Aaron Badillo. He's a star supporter, by the way. He had a question for us. He said, listen, why hasn't Tony Ferguson been on the JRE MMA show yet? There's an obvious 10th Planet connection there with Tony working with Eddie Bravo. And there is an obvious connection there. And I'll tell you what, you know, I tried to reach out and find out exactly why. I mean, because it does seem like a natural fit. I mean, Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan, they're boys. There's a lot going on in Tony Ferguson's life right now. It's been pretty crazy. He's done a select few interviews here and there, and I think that's kind of what he wants to stick it at for now. But I don't really have a firm answer for you, Aaron. I wish I had something a little bit more concrete, but the people I reached out to really didn't have anything specific to say about it other than just, you know, it's kind of circumstances of what they are right now, man, just kind of where the world is at, where Tony's career is at, what's been going on. I do think it's a natural fit. I mean, I will say this too. I don't know if Tony wants to spend a full hour or 2 hours or, you know, 3 hours even, you know, being an open book or not. I mean, it's still clear that I think he feels a little bit hurt at some of the way things in some of his life were portrayed and the way they were reported in the media. I think he, while he certainly probably doesn't look at Joe Rogan as a standard media outlet, I think there's probably some concerns. It just, you know, we saw the way that, for instance, at the press conference, he got kind of defensive about some stuff. And I get it, man. I totally understand it. That was a completely different forum. And we've talked about that before, kind of right time, right place to ask certain things.
Yeah.
But you know what, man? I don't know if he feels 100% comfortable in that kind of setting or environment yet. That's me. By the way, that is not any feedback I received. That is just me kind of extrapolating what I've seen and guessing and maybe thinking a little bit. But I think we'll see him on there at some point. I just don't know if now's the right time.
Yeah, at some point I'm sure we'll see him on there, because I can see where he would definitely, if he was in the right mindset, Rogan would definitely give him the freedom to kind of go off on whatever tangent. He would give him the platform to do it. But also, if he's not feeling it, that would be a really awkward place as well, because you kind of need to have somebody that's very vocal. But I do want to say, before I switch off the patron, a big welcome to Rick Chrisman, a new patron member.
Shout out. We appreciate that. We know this is not an easy time, so I really appreciate everybody that stuck around, and especially somebody that's joining new right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough times, but thank you very much for your support.
Yeah, no question about it. Good stuff. All right, so listen – it's so weird because we might be, I mean, if you think about this, we might be 2 weeks away from getting back into full swing of things. If everything goes the way that
the USA
is planning. Yeah, I mean, next week, of course, we'll be right back here. We're kind of doing the same thing. But theoretically, 2 weeks from now, I could be in Florida covering an event, or what we think is going to be Florida. And that would be phenomenal. But it's an interesting time because we know what the USC wants to do with Fight Island, which still seems crazy to me. I'm not going to lie. That still seems crazy to me. We'll see if it comes to fruition and how things happen. But we could be 2 weeks away from the show getting, you know, back on the road. And I'll be honest, man, fingers crossed. I do hope that it happens. But so I started looking at USC 249. Of course, a lot has been made of Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje and how that all planned out. Of course, Amanda Nunes made it clear that she's not fighting Felicia Spencer there, so that fight's not happening anymore. Completely understand from Amanda Nunes' perspective. Again, I'll reiterate, like I've said all along, if anybody, for any reason, says that they don't feel like fighting during this time period, I think you just have to give them a free pass. You know, and you think about it, for her, in her situation specifically, as a champion, and a double champion, man, you know, it's not just a normal fight for her, right? I mean, there's real financial implications. I mean, you lose that champion status. Yep. Now, for her, she would only lose one belt. She'd still have the other one. But still, you know, you talk to fighters that have made championship money and non-championship money right after. It changes significantly. And so for her to enter a fight on, you know, less than, you know, full preparation, I think it's understandable that she would say, no, I don't want to take that risk. And then you add in the personal aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
Her partner is pregnant right now, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure she's thinking health things as well. Like, hey, I do not want to risk anything and potentially get Nina sick and you know, cause any issues for the baby.
Yep.
I completely – so, to me, there's both a professional and a personal level why she would not want to fight right now. And as I said from minute one, you got to just let it go. If anybody tells you they don't want to fight, you got to just say, fine, no big deal. For instance, Aljamain Sterling. We talked about Aljamain Sterling, about professionally why he wouldn't want to risk fighting right now without full preparation. He's worked so hard to get where he is. And then, I don't know, I know how busy you've been this week working, and we haven't been in constant communication since I've been on furlough, but I'm not sure if you saw, he came out on one of his own podcasts this week and said that his girl had it. His girl actually is a nurse and is working to you know, on the front lines, and she was dealing with it. So, so again, not only is it professional, but it's personal as well, and that's why he didn't want to fight. So, anyway, you have to give a free pass to anybody. But then I went back to the Cejudo-Cruz matchup, and Cejudo and Cruz have both done interviews, but I wanted to reach out. So I reached out to Marlon Moraes just to see how he was feeling, because I thought what this would do is, let's get his take on that Cejudo-Cruz matchup, but then let's also find out what's going on with Marlon Moraes. He's, of course, scheduled to fight in June. What he's hearing, what he's thinking about the schedule and about, you know, because, again, all we know right now is May 9th. But if Dana White and the UFC are to bleed, May 9th leads into May 16th, May 23rd, May 30th, June 6th, June 13th. We'll see. So I reached out to Marlon Marais also earlier today before I headed over here, and here's what he had to say.
All right, it is Magic Marlon Marais, man. Always good to see you, my brother. Just want to ask you, how are you holding up in quarantine life, man? This is a new life for us all. How are you holding up in there, man?
Everything is sorry. I have to move here. Everything good. You know, I'm surviving, you know, taking care of the family. And I'm training. I have a fight scheduled. And I'm doing the best I can to stay ready to train and show up June 13 ready.
I hear the kid in the background, man. That's awesome. That's life for everybody these days.
Yeah, man, we can't stop. It's hard.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, you mentioned having a fight. I mean, originally we know June 13th in Kazakhstan against Peter Yan. I mean, that's only about 7 weeks away from right now if it's the original date. So just wanted to find out, I mean, what's the latest you've heard? I mean, do you know what's going on? I know there's a lot going on right now, but, you know, kind of what are the assumptions that you're preparing under?
Yeah, I heard the fight's still happening, but it's not going to be in Kazakhstan. And I think it's going to be here in the U.S. And we'll see. Whatever they make it happen, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be ready.
What do you think about Peter as an opponent? I mean, obviously he doesn't, you know, have quite the experience that you have in big fights, but stylistically, I think for the fans, it seems like a fun fight on paper. But what do you think about him overall as an opponent?
I think he's a very good fighter. You know, I think he's one of the top contenders right now in the UFC. Like, skill-wise, I think he's good everywhere. He can fight everywhere. And it's a good fight for me, you know. It's a fight that puts me back up there, you know. I had a fight. I fought for the title. I lost. And in my opinion, he should be next for the title. But he didn't get the title shot. And he needs opponent, and I raise my hand. Let's fight this guy. And you know, you have to challenge yourself and fight with the best. And this is what I'm aiming to do. I think he's one of the best out there, and nothing better to test yourself with guys with that caliber.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You said you thought it might be here in the United States. We keep hearing about this Fight Island thing as well. Obviously, he's an internationally based fighter. I mean, if they need you to leave the United States and go to wherever this Fight Island thing is that something you're open to, or have you started researching that?
Yes,
at all?
Yes, definitely. I'm not researching, you know, but the time I have now, I'm training. And but if they need me to go somewhere, I'm gonna raise my hand too. I'm gonna go. You know, I don't care. I'm gonna fight him. That's the fight. That's the fight I signed for. And whatever they want to make it happen, I'm gonna fly there.
I like it. You mentioned your training. Everybody's having to do things a little bit different right now. So how is your training going, man? What kind of adaptations have you made? What's the process that you're doing to stay safe, obviously, during this time, but still get properly ready for a top-level fight?
Yeah, we don't have, like, as many partners because we're not allowed to have the number of a lot of people in the gym. We're keeping simple. But I'm doing the best I can, and I believe – everyone at ATT is doing the best for us. Thanks to Dan Lambert, you know, always behind us there. You know, I don't know him long time, but for the time I know him, I seen him taking care of everything, making sure everyone can get time and can get good training.
You know, Marlon, you've been very respectful along this process of saying, listen, I know I had my title shot and I lost. I'm going to work back. And, you know, you weren't upset about Jose Aldo getting a title shot, even though you won the fight. But I'm curious, you know, Dominic Cruz steps in. Certainly you can't question what he's accomplished all time, but hasn't been around. So when that was the call that was made, what were your thoughts? I mean, did that one bother you at all? Did you feel like, okay, I know I said I was fine with Aldo, but hold on, I'm not fine with this one?
Yeah, but to be honest with you, it bothered me less than seeing Aldo getting that title shot. Because Dominic Cruz have a story in the division, and I thought he didn't lose the fight. His last fight was with Cody Garvin, right?
Right, yeah.
That one he definitely lost. But Dominic Cruz won the belt, and he had so many problems with injuries. You know, I'm a big fan of Dominic Cruz too. I see him I see the passion he has for the sport, you know, and he just can't get going. He just can't stay healthy, you know. He keep getting hurt. And when you hear something like that, you can't get mad, you know. I'm not mad at all, man. The guy deserves to fight, you know. He's one of the best ever to step in that octagon in the 135 division. And I heard the Peter Young couldn't get the visa to fight. And he was one of the options too. So why not, you know, why not give to Dominic Cruz? He's such a big name. I think it's good for the division having him back. And I hopefully he can stay healthy. But if he can't stay healthy, man, give this guy one more opportunity. You know, let's see what he can do. Maybe it can be the last time he will be able to fight for the title, you know. And that's my opinion, you know, my humble opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. It's an amazing story. He's definitely a, you know, probably a future Hall of Famer. Talk about the rest of the division, because this is an important fight. Like you and Peter Yan, you know, probably a number one contender fight, but you got guys like Aljamain Sterling. You got guys like Corey Sandhagen, who's a little bit newer to the game. But, you know, both those guys, they're saying, hey, what about us? You know, what about the work we put in? So what are you thinking? I mean, you go out there and beat Peter Yan. Are you in front of them, or do they still deserve to be in front of you?
No, I agree with you. That's guys out there, you know. Sterling is there. Sandy Hagen is there too. So many guys now coming. Aldo's is on the division. Frankie's coming to 135. I see other tough guys in the division. Pedro Munoz is a tough guy too. That's so many good guys. I see eight tough fights in the 135 division. We just got to get the ball going, you know. We got to get that title on the line more times. And like you just said, Sterling, I think Sterling is almost there, you know. He's right there for the shot, but I believe he was injured. He could not take this fight. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I believe he's one of that deserve. And I'm here, you know, I'm here to fight. I'm here to fight anybody and deserve another shot and put shows for the fans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Listen, I know I think of you as a positive guy, man. You always got a smile on your face. You always got good energy. But this is a tough time for everybody, man, right? I mean, this is a weird world that we're living in. So I'm curious, what's been your mental attitude, man, you know, to keep that positive attitude that you always have? What have you focused on? What has your thought process been? What's it been like for you to keep positive energy?
Man, my passion, it's be with my family, and it's hard, you know, because you uncertain, you don't know what's going to happen. And what I've been trying to do is stay with them, help my kids, play with my kids, enjoy the time I have with them. But it's kind of tough for me, you know, not just for me, but for most of the guys that have a fight coming up, because I'm supposed to have a fight, because I got to go train, do everything I do daily, and still I got to be on quarantine. But quarantine is home. You got to work. You got to do things. You got to entertain your family, your kids, and have a downtime. And for me, being busier because it's training, come home, and do a lot of things. At least I don't stop and I don't think about it. I think this way is better for me.
No doubt about it, man. Well, listen, it's hopefully it happens June 13th. I mean, we're all excited for the UFC schedule to get back to normal. Give me an idea, Marlon. What's your goal in this fight, man? I mean, are you going out there trying to make a statement and prove that you deserve a title shot again? Or, you know, are you trying to understand that maybe it'll take a little bit longer and just go get a win? I mean, what's the idea coming out of June 13th?
Make a statement, you know. I'm fighting a tough guy, a good opponent. But I know how tough I am, how good I am, and let's clash. Let's clash and show. He deserves it. I deserve too. And let's see who's going to get it.
I love it, man. Well, stylistically, on paper, man, it looks like it's going to be a hell of a fight, man. So fingers crossed it still happens June 13th. And, of course, we'll be tuned in. As long as there's fights, you know, we'll be watching. Marlon, always appreciate the time, brother.
You just said we have to be positive. I'm positive. I'm training. And let's make it happen, hopefully. Everything goes God's plan, God's time. We're going to put on a show and it's going to be a great fight.
All right, so the Magic Man, Marlon Moraes. Always like his attitude, man. I just think he's always a positive guy and respect, you know, the way he's looking at things. And
Sounds like him and Peter Yan is still going to happen. It sounds like he's still targeting June 13th, maybe here in the state. So we'll find out. Listen, a couple of things I wanted to just shout out real quick. One other thing in the MMA world. I just want to give a shout out to Lima Leigh McFarland, man. You know, the story came out earlier today that she's filing suit in Hawaii. The victim of some sexual assault as a young girl.
Was it 12?
12, yeah, 12, 14, 12. And then her sister was involved as well. And I don't know. I just want to give a shout out to her because not this alone, but just, man, the things that she continues to do. I mean, anybody that's if you're a long time listener to this show, you know she's cool as shit. We just got literally hammered one night together on air, and she was super fun to hang out with and talk with. Great fun at the Ballast Point Brewery down in Temecula years ago, and she was fun, man. She's just a cool chick to just hang out and drink beer and talk MMA with.
Yeah, she went like drink for drink with you.
She went drink for drink with me. Drink for drink with me. The whole night. I was like, you don't have to do this. And she's like, oh, I'm doing this. She went drink for drink. And then I had to step my game up just to match her. So she's great. But beyond that, man, just the things that she continues to do and stand for. I mean, we know the stigma that comes along with kind of reporting the stuff and having to deal with it and having to relive it and retell it and go through all these things, and for her to step up and do that. But, you know, it's just so in line with the way she's done things with, you know, the charities that she set up in Hawaii, the things that, you know, that she stood for, the causes of the native Hawaiians. And I don't know, man, to me, man, she is phenomenal. I think you could not ask for a better representative of your company than Bellator has with Lima Leigh McFarland, and a better representative of the state of Hawaii. And just, I don't know, man. I just wanted to give a shout-out to her, man. To go public with something like this, especially when you're a very, very public figure, cannot be easy. But it just stands in line with the person that she is. And I don't know, man. I just want to give a shout-out to her. I think she's just an awesome person.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I hope that works out perfectly in the court. You know, a lot of times that stuff, the perpetrators never get the punishments that they should get for some of that stuff. So hopefully justice prevails and he gets what he deserves.
No doubt. All right, we got to talk a little bit outside of MMA, right? Since there is no MMA to watch, unfortunately. I did want to say, throw out a couple recommendations.
Okay, okay.
Last Dance on ESPN. Just check that out. The Michael Jordan, the first two episodes of Michael
waltz?
Jordan.
But you learn how to waltz or something, and is that a dance show?
Michael Jordan, not MJ, Michael Jackson. This is Michael Jordan. It was good, man. It's a 10 part series. Man, the ratings were through the roof because obviously, like, everybody's got nothing else to watch, you know?
Yeah.
It was really, really good. But I will say this is funny. It's just to talk about like the kind of guy that Michael Jordan is and what he meant to sports. It was funny, you know, it's kind of interesting the way they tell the story. It kind of bounces around. It goes back and forth in times, which I think is better than just, you know, going through like, you know, chronologically what happened or whatever. But it's funny. They show him, you know, as a rookie being drafted, and he's got his jersey, you know, the big moment where here's the guy. And he's wearing number 23. Now, granted, I had a few cocktails in me at the time as well, so this may have factored into it. But I was like, damn,
you?
Dude.
Cocktails?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. I was like, oh, okay, frosty beverages. Yeah, let's be honest. We weren't going high fashion. But I was man, that's ballsy. He wore 23 in his rookie year, dude. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He's the reason 23 is mine. You know what I mean? It was so funny. I was like, damn, dude, that kid came out of college wearing 23.
He thought he was Jordan.
He was shit. I was like, oh, wait, he's Jordan. He's the reason 23 is something.
That's true.
It was so funny to me, man, because obviously as a kid growing up, I mean, that dude was the man in my age, and obviously you're just a few years older than me, man. Same thing. Like, he was the man. But first two episodes were good. They were really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but yeah, I mean, it's weird because even outside of sports, just everything, his brand and what he was able to do was so iconic. Like, I remember being a kid, like, you know, you had to have the Jordan shoes when the Jordans came out. Like, it was a whole status symbol, you know. It was a huge part of childhood, you know. It was like, you know, if you didn't have Jordans, you were nothing, you know. I remember having fake Jordans and different knockoff shoes that didn't have the Jordan, but they were trying to look like Jordans. It's just because he wanted to try to fit in. He was larger than life, man. What he did for sports and everything was huge. But no, I have not watched that.
It's good. It's worth checking out. I'll give you another one. This is fight sport related. It's a couple years old, but I just never taken the time to watch it. And I think I, you know, thought about it and just never ended up getting to it. But Prison Fighters, Five Rounds to Freedom. It's on Showtime, and it's about Muay Thai in Thailand. And in Thailand, in the prisons, they have, like, this prison fight system. And if you win your way to, like, the champion level, then you can fight against an outsider. And if you win that fight, you win your freedom. Like, you literally get out of jail. And, you know, I don't know, man. I wasn't sure about it if it was it's really good. I really liked it, man.
Sounds like a bad 80s movie that we've probably all seen.
That's the whole thing is I think that's why I was so hesitant. I was like, that sounds stupid. And I think they're going to bring
in the ringer so you can't – the warden never lets the prisoner out.
That's it. Like, I think I wasn't sure if it was an actual documentary or what it was. But it is a documentary. So I thought it was a fictional movie and I'd heard of it. And I think there was a fictional movie called like a – maybe it's even a documentary. There's one called A Prayer Before Dawn, which I think was like a similar thing about Muay Thai in prison or whatever. But anyway, I think I got them all confused, and I never ended up watching any of them. But Prison Fighters, Five Rounds of Freedom, it's good. I have a soft spot in my heart for Muay Thai. For anybody that doesn't know, like Muay Thai was kind of my gateway to MMA when I was a teenager, and it's kind of a long story that I've told before. But so because of that, man, I always have a real soft spot in my heart for Muay Thai because it's like the first real combat sport I saw where I was like, yes, this is amazing. But the story is really interesting, and I don't want to spoil too much of it if people want to watch it, even though it is a couple years old, because it is kind of obscure, I think. And again, you can find it on Showtime. But the characters that are involved, it's interesting. There's depth. There's something there. There's a level to the story. Worth checking out. So if anybody wants to check it out. And the last thing I'll say and it's an advance recommendation because it comes out tomorrow.
Oh,
Beastie Boys documentary comes out on Apple Plus. I think it's. I don't have Apple Plus, but I'm gonna find a way to get it just to watch this documentary.
Is that like an Apple TV thing?
I think so. My wife bought an iPad a couple months back for Eli because he had been saving some money and you know whatever. Long story short, she got him an iPad. And I think when we bought that iPad, it came with like a year free of Apple Plus. But I haven't signed up for it. I think they have like some originals and stuff. But you know me, man. I'm so MMA centric. But I'm gonna so I'm throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna be watching that tomorrow. I'm gonna find a way to watch it tomorrow.
That seems right up your alley. I would be into that one.
How about you? Anything you came across this last week?
I started watching and it's been around. I think it's in the second season. But Barry.
Oh, Barry's amazing. Oh, co-sign on that. If you have not seen Barry, it is the best show. The writing it's on that so and the act, it is phenomenal. Did you make it all the way caught up?
We're in number episode 8 of season 1. Oh,
my God.
We're at the season finale of
Barry
season 1.
It's funny because
Agent H is even watching with me. She's like, I like this show. You know, like normally we... Like I tell you about the shit she watches, we don't really get on a lot of times about the same shows, but this one we both are really really enjoying it, and I love it. I love the whole acting side of it because it's totally just fucking throwing actors under the bus of the way it treats them. But it's so real, it's so true. Some of the shit, but it just cracks me up watching it.
For anybody that doesn't know what it is, like honestly, you don't even need to know what it is. To like, you should just turn it on and watch. Like it might even be more fun to not.
Because it calls
know
it a
it
comedy,
is.
And it is, but it'd be a very dark comedy.
It's Bill Hader who is hilarious.
What was he originally in? Was it
Saturday Night Live?
Saturday Night Live. Okay,
yeah, he was phenomenal on Saturday Night Live. But this is more of a serious role. But he's like a hitman. That's basically a former military guy, hitman, that's trying to get out of that, basically, and go into acting.
He wants to be an actor.
He wants to be an actor. And just, I mean, this
comedy ensues.
Comedy ensues. The setup of it sounds ridiculous, but it's so good.
I really, really enjoyed it. I know I'm really behind the curve on that one, but I was really happy to find one that. So that we've been watching that one. I think that's about the only new one, besides catching up on Westworld, still chugging through. I think I got an episode or two left of the second season.
Second season's all right. Season 3 has been really good. Season 3 has been
really
good.
That's what I meant, like this whatever the current season.
Oh, okay, yeah, season 3. And it's going to get a season 4. They just,
really?
Yeah, they renewed for season 4. I co-sign on Westworld. I like Westworld. One last one, and Abby Subban. Shout out to Abby Subban. He's the one that's doing this. And I thought this was a great idea. If you haven't read Michael Bisping's book, order Michael Bisping's book, Quitters Never Win. Get the U.S. version, if you can get the U.S. version, because it came out in the U.K. first. And in the U.K., they have like copyright or libel laws and that sort of thing where like you have to be very, very careful what you say because you can be sued for certain things. So there were certain details that they had to leave out that they added into the U.S. version. So Order the U.S. version if you can. But what he's been doing is reading like a chapter and then watching the fight that chapter is about, like with that new knowledge. You know what I mean? So he's going through, you know, kind of went through the start. And then as he goes through, like, you know, fight by fight of big fights in his chat, he'll read the chapter, get the new knowledge, get the idea of how he saw things, and then pull up on Fight Pass and watch the fight. And he's like, dude, that sounds – he said it's been incredibly enjoyable. And I was like, that sounds actually really cool, you know, to go back and revisit that fight, but with that fresh knowledge.
Yeah,
so,
with some new context to the story going into it or something.
Yeah.
Or,
I thought that was
not a bad idea.
I thought that was, so shout out to Abby Saban. And, of course, by the way, check out Combat Rewind. Him and I have been working together on those. To see some old since we can't see fresh fights, you can see old fights.
You watch some really old ones.
Yeah, but some really good ones. We got some really good episodes coming up, by the way. Some really good, I guess they're episodes, right? They're different days or whatever. We got some crazy highlights coming up. So anyway, listen, like I said, in 2 weeks we could be back to full life, more or less. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's knock on wood. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to say things couldn't change between now and then, because they definitely could.
It would be good. I need to stop eating as much. Please bring fights and action back.
By the way, I should say, so we'll see what happens next week. Maybe we'll have Adam Hill next week or something. Here's how inside the bubble we are. We were talking today, like, hey, maybe we should have somebody over again. You know, it was fun having Oscar Willis last week. Maybe we should have somebody in. We were like, what about Adam Hill? I'm like, dude, Adam Hill would be great. Like, you know, with all that's going on in Vegas, and obviously, man, he's just a smart guy. I always enjoy his opinion and hearing him talk, you know.
Yeah.
And then you reached out to him, and he's like, bruh, I got to cover the NFL draft tonight.
We're like, oh yeah.
No, we knew that. We were just saying, like, maybe – you know, during the draft, like, you get when it's not the Raiders pick.
Yeah, when it's not the Raiders pick.
That's how in the bubble, we are. We're like, oh, yeah, that's I did. I'm not going to lie. I did actually think the draft was tomorrow. But
I knew it was coming up. I just forgot that it was today.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was still here in town, it would have been clearly
on the mind.
Yeah, but
whatever.
Without it, honestly, like, I have no reason to pull up SportsCenter anymore. I have no reason to watch any of that stuff. So it just slipped my mind. And once he said it, I was like, oh, duh.
It's sorry. Just someday.
Take my man card. Here it is.
It's just someday. That's all it is.
It's just
anymore.
Another day.
It's just someday. It's just someday. Well, anyway, yes, even though it is just someday, we do appreciate you still sticking with us. And hopefully we'll be back to live action and have much more to talk about. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Ha ha!